Hey everyone, get ready for a wild ride because today we're diving deep into the future of programming. You know, where AI writes code right alongside you, predicts your next move, all that. It's like becoming some kind of coding wizard.
Yeah, it's crazy how fast it's all happening. It seems like just yesterday, AI coding tools were this new thing, kind of a novelty, and now they're becoming essential.
Totally. And today's deep dive is on Cursor. And this is way more than just your typical autocomplete. It's like they're reinventing how coding even works.
Right, exactly.
And get this, the team behind it. They were all hardcore, like diehard Vim users before this.
Oh, wow, you're kidding.
Which if you don't know, Vim is about as far from AI-assisted coding as you can get.
Yeah, you said it. I mean, Vim, it's famous, right? Power, flexibility, but it's also, well, let's just say it's got a reputation for being intense to learn, not exactly known for holding your hand.
So what made these Vim devotees make the switch?
Right.
It was Copilot. Copilot that made them see AI's potential. Mm-hmm. They were blown away by how well anticipated what they were trying to do, like having a super smart coding buddy who's always one step ahead.
It really was a game changer. You could call it the first killer app for AI in coding. But as groundbreaking as it was, it also showed everyone that just kind of slapping AI onto existing editors wasn't going to cut it.
And that's where Cursor comes in.
Exactly.
They wanted something even faster, even more intuitive, you know, built for this new AI-assisted world from the ground up. And in their own words, a big part of being fun is being fast. Fast is fun.
Mm-hmm.
And they totally deliver on that.
They do. That speed focus is huge for programmers. You know that feeling? You get in the zone, the code's just flowing.
Oh, yeah.
Cursor is all about keeping that flow going, that instant feedback loop. That's what makes coding so satisfying.
So how does Cursor actually pull that off? Tell me about this tab feature. I keep hearing about it.
Tab. It's almost deceptively simple, you know?
Yeah.
It's like working with this crazy fast colleague, and they're not just predicting your next keystroke, they're predicting your next 5 minutes of coding.
Wait, seriously? How is that even possible?
Well, it turns out a lot of coding, even the really complex stuff, it follows predictable patterns.
Okay.
Cursor's been trained on tons and tons of code, so it recognizes these patterns and basically can jump ahead, predict what you're going to write next.
So it's cutting out all those little in-between steps, those little actions that take up your time but don't actually need much thought, right?
Exactly. It frees you from all that tedious typing of every single line, lets you focus on the big picture, the creative problem solving. That's what makes coding fun, right?
Right. That's amazing. But with the AI making all these changes, how do you even keep track? It seems like it'd be so easy to get lost in a sea of code.
Well, that's where their diff interface comes in.
Oh.
It's a visual representation of the changes. Cursors suggesting new codes in green, removed codes in red, like track changes, but for code, but way more powerful.
Like a supercharged version. But it sounds like diff is more than just highlighting, right?
Right.
Don't they have multiple diff interfaces or something?
Yeah. They've really thought this through. Different interfaces, each one's tweaked for certain tasks. So one for autocomplete, a more detailed one for when you're making big edits. And they're even working on one that shows you changes across multiple files all at once.
Wow. That's seriously impressive. It sounds like they've really put in the work to make it user-friendly.
And it hasn't been easy. They went through a ton of iterations, constantly tweaking, trying to find the most intuitive way to show these changes. Like, at first, they were using strike-throughs for deletions.
Oh, man, I can only imagine how messy that got. Like, trying to read a ransom note.
Exactly. And they realized that was a no-go pretty quickly. Then they tried highlighting. Then a more subtle thing where the suggestion only showed up if you hovered over the code. It's crazy how much thought goes into something that seems so simple on the surface. You know,
it really shows that even with the most advanced AI, that user experience is critical.
Absolutely.
Speaking of advanced AI, I have to ask, what's the secret sauce? What makes Cursor feel so incredibly fast? It's almost like it's reading my mind sometimes.
It's true. That speed, it's something they've really focused on. They know that even a tiny delay can be a programmer's worst nightmare, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So one of their key strategies is something called caching.
Okay, break that down for me. What is caching?
Basically, they preload code snippets that are likely to be used, so they're instantly available when you need them, like having a cheat sheet, your coding cheat sheet, ready to go at all times.
Yeah. That makes sense, like having a really, really good assistant who just knows what you need before you even ask.
Yeah, exactly. And they also use this technique called speculative edits, which basically means Cursor takes the code you already have as a starting point, and it only generates the parts that are actually new.
So instead of rewriting the entire thing every time, It's just filling in the blanks.
You got it.
Okay.
And on top of that, they're using parallel processing to speed things up even more.
And parallel processing is?
So imagine trying to read, like, 10 books at once.
Okay. That's a lot of books.
It's a lot, right? Parallel processing is like having 10 people each read one of those books simultaneously.
Okay. So cursor's reading my code 10 pages at a time instead of one.
Exactly. You got it.
Got it. Okay.
And this is all happening behind the scenes, making everything super fast and seamless for the user.
That's wild.
It is. And it gets even wilder when you start talking about shadow workspaces.
Okay, now you're just messing with me. Shadow workspaces. What in the world is a shadow workspace?
Okay, so picture this. You're working on your code, right? But in the background, AI is running that code, finding bugs, maybe even refactoring parts of it, all while you're focused on something else. That's the idea of shadow workspaces.
Hold on. Let me catch my breath. So you're saying there's a whole other AI coding dimension happening at the same time as mine? It's actually kind of amazing.
Yeah.
And kind of freaks me out a little.
Yeah, it's a game changer. Imagine you come in Monday morning, that killer bug you were wrestling with all last week, gone, solved while you're sleeping. That's what we're talking about.
Okay, you're right. That would be amazing. But I'm guessing there are some pretty major roadblocks to making something like that actually work. It can't be as easy as just saying, hey, AI, go fix my bugs.
You're right. It's not that simple. One of the biggest challenges is this thing called environment mirroring. Basically, the AI needs to be working with an exact copy, a replica, of your development setup.
Oh, okay.
Which gets really tricky, especially when you're talking about different operating systems.
Right, because my code might be working perfectly fine on my machine, but then crash and burn on somebody else's, right?
Yeah, exactly. So the Cursor team has actually come up with some really smart solutions for this. Like, they're using file system mirroring on Linux and then locking mechanisms on Mac and Windows just to make sure the AI is working with the right stuff. It's still early days, but it's really impressive progress.
That's wild. And the shadow workspaces thing, it feels like it all ties into that trend of AI agents we're seeing everywhere now.
It totally does.
You know, these little helpers that take care of stuff and make our lives easier.
Exactly. And just like with human assistants, there are different kinds of AI agents that are better at different things. Yeah. Some are designed for that longer term behind the scenes work, like that bug fixing and refactoring we talked about, where you don't necessarily need instant feedback, right?
And others need to be more responsive, like when you're using autocomplete, getting those live code suggestions.
Exactly. Each one's got its strengths and weaknesses. And who knows, in the future, who knows, we might have agents setting up our entire dev environments, running our tests, even deploying our code to the cloud, you know?
The possibilities are mind-blowing, but...
They are.
Let's shift gears a bit and talk about one of the biggest challenges when it comes to AI coding.context. Even a simple Python file, it can have a ton of dependencies, imports, external libraries. How does AI even make sense of all that?
That's such a good question. It's actually one of the biggest problems that researchers are trying to figure out. And it's not just about throwing more code at the AI and hoping for the best. More context means more data to process. And that can actually slow things down and even make the AI less accurate.
Okay, so it's like too much of a good thing.
Yeah. Exactly. You don't want to overload the AI with irrelevant stuff. So it's all about finding the right balance. One really promising approach is developing smarter retrieval systems. So instead of giving the AI access to every single line of code, you strategically feed it the most relevant snippets based on what it's doing.
So like having a really, really good research assistant who knows exactly which books to pull off the shelf.
Precisely. Another exciting thing they're looking into is training the AI to actually understand entire code bases holistically. So instead of just looking at individual files, individual functions, the AI would be able to grasp the big picture, just like a human programmer would.
Now we're talking. That sounds a lot closer to how our brains actually work when we're coding.
Right. And then there's the holy grail of AI coding context, infinite context windows.
Okay, now you're just messing with me. Infinite context windows. What is that? Like some superpowered AI that holds the entire internet in its brain or something?
Well, not quite yet, but that's the dream. It's still theoretical, but the idea is to create models that could technically access and process an unlimited amount of information.
Wow. That sounds unbelievably powerful.
Right.
But while we're waiting for these infinite context windows to show up, let's talk about something that seems kind of counterintuitive. The fact that AI is surprisingly bad at finding bugs. You'd think with all this processing power, it'd be a bug squashing machine, but apparently it's not that straightforward.
It's true. And it's something we've been digging into. See, AI is amazing at spotting patterns, right? But when it comes to bugs, that's a different beast altogether. One reason is that the AI models we have now, they're only as good as the data we train them on. And right now, there just aren't as many examples of real-world bug detection out there, not compared to things like code generation or translation.
So the AI just hasn't seen enough bugs yet to really understand them.
Exactly. And then on top of that, even when the AI flags something that looks off in the code, it often doesn't have that human context to know if it's a real bug or just something we did on purpose.
Right. Like what might seem like a huge error to the AI could be a deliberate design choice by a human programmer.
Exactly. There's actually this funny story. Some developers were messing around and found out that if they wrote dangerous over and over again in the comments near a section of code, the AI would suddenly get really focused on finding bugs there.
Wait, really? So they're basically tricking the AI into thinking it's a bigger deal than it is.
It sounds silly, but it shows a fundamental problem. The AI still struggles to grasp the why behind the code, you know? It can spot things that are different, things that deviate from the norm, but it doesn't always understand if those deviations are actually a problem.
Fascinating. So how do we bridge that gap? Is there a way to make AI get the nuances of what makes code truly bug-free?
Well, some people believe the answer lies in something called formal verification.
Formal verification, not ringing any bells. What's that?
Okay, so in a nutshell, it's all about using mathematical proofs to guarantee that your code does exactly what it's designed to do without any errors. Imagine being able to mathematically prove that your code is 100% bug-free.
Wow. That sounds amazing and incredibly complicated. Sign me up if they ever crack that code.
Mm-mm.
But I'm guessing there are some pretty huge obstacles to overcome before formal verification becomes like, you know, an everyday thing.
Oh, for sure. One of the biggest is figuring out how to tell a computer what we actually want the code to do in a way it understands. It's like trying to write down every assumption you make when you're coding, every possible scenario, every edge case. It's just not how our brains work.
Yeah, good luck getting that through code review, right?
Right. Plus, you have to think about external dependencies. Most code isn't written in isolation. It talks to APIs, it uses libraries, it interacts with other code bases, and all of that adds layers of complexity to the verification process.
So it's like trying to solve a giant puzzle, but the pieces keep changing shape.
A very frustrating puzzle. And then there's the whole issue of verifying the AI parts within the code itself. Like, if part of your code was written by AI, can you actually formally verify that part as well? It's a whole new can of worms.
It sounds like formal verification is still a long way off. But this whole discussion about AI and bug detection, it really highlights something important. The future of programming isn't about getting rid of human programmers altogether. It's about finding that right balance, that right way for humans and AI to work together right.
100%.
And that seems to be at the core of what Cursor is all about. Their whole motto is building extraordinarily productive human AI systems.
Exactly. It's all about giving programmers more power, not taking it away.
It's like Cursor saying, hey, we're not trying to steal your job. We just want to help you be the best programmer you can be.
Yeah, exactly. And they've got some really cool ideas about what that partnership could look like. Imagine AI handling all that boring, repetitive stuff, boilerplate code, refactoring, even catching those little bugs that drive you crazy.
So it's like having like an AI assistant who just takes care of all the grunt work, which frees us up to focus on the fun part, the creative stuff, the problem solving.
Exactly. Programmers can finally be the architects, the designers, the visionaries. They come up with the big ideas. The AI takes care of the rest.
Now, that's a future I can get behind.
Yeah.
But I bet some people listening are thinking, okay, cool, but what about my job? If AI is doing all the work, am I even going to have a job in a few years?
It's a fair question. It's something a lot of people are worried about. But honestly, I think the opposite is going to happen. AI is not going to replace programmers. It's going to make programming more fun, more open to everyone.
I like that take. So it's not about replacing us. It's about what we can do together.
Yeah.
Us and AI working together.
Exactly. And you never know, this new wave of AI tools, it might just inspire a whole new generation of programmers.
Right.
Because there really is something magical about coding. That feeling of creating something, solving a problem, it's so rewarding.
Totally. And if AI can help us spend less time on like syntax errors and more time on, you know, really bringing our ideas to life, that's a win-win.
Absolutely. And it actually makes you think. We've been talking about AI helping us write cleaner code, better code, maybe even bug-free code someday. But what if you could do even more than that? What if AI could help us solve problems we thought were impossible before?
Okay, now you're really getting me thinking. What kind of problems are we talking about here? Give me an example.
Well, that's the really exciting part we don't even know yet. But imagine AI helping us invent entirely new kinds of software, or algorithms that can solve those big scientific mysteries, or systems that can actually learn and adapt in ways we haven't even thought of.
It's like we're on the verge of this whole new world of possibilities, and tools like Cursor are giving us a sneak peek.
Exactly. It really feels like we're witnessing the start of something big, a whole new era in software development, and it's incredibly exciting to be a part of it.
Couldn't agree more. So to everyone listening, if you're ready to explore this new frontier, I definitely recommend checking out Cursor. It's free. You can try it out right now. Start experiencing the future of coding today.
Absolutely. Go write some amazing code.
And as always, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the future of AI and programming. We'll see you next time.